Yeah, sorry, just sometimes the stupid orange box for some reason won't go away, so I'm just going to stop and reshare it. That usually does it. Okay. Okay, so looking at and analyzing where technology is and where it's going according to government and corporate policy and statements that were made by various people at the cutting edge of this technology. So just coming up to speed on some of the more recent news articles relating to artificial intelligence integration into basic technology. We'll start with Windows 11, and it has Copilot as a mandatory option. If you want to undo it, it's actually registry fixes you need to do. So you need to go into the registry, regedit, and then go in there and change certain keys to disable it. There is no box you can check or easy way to disable AI in Windows 11. Google also feeds artificial intelligence platforms everything it gathers in terms of information from your emails, from the searches, that all goes into train AI. AI bots claim they can run the world better than at an international summit. So now that AIs are getting out there and being embodied in robots, they're actually making statements and participating in human events, and they say stuff. So here is a link where, again, it says that it would be better at running the world than humanity. Big tech use AI to target prepping and survival sites. So for different reasons, either economic, political, whatever it is, big companies that have these types of capabilities are targeting, various websites and companies with AI. So that's linked there. Apple is now transforming into an artificial intelligence company. So there's a link there. I think that's to their, it's the article, but in there's a video of the Apple CEO talking about how AI is revolutionizing everything, and they're now an AI company. So AI is now integrated also into Apple iPhones. These all went out in updates that you probably didn't know about. So you just click next, and it's now integrated into your phones, in Android phones as well. Research at Cornell University programmed an artificial intelligence computer system to listen to the sounds of people typing the keys on a keyboard on a phone call and a Zoom call to crack their passwords. 95% accuracy in phone calls, and 93% accuracy in Zoom. What that's saying is AI is capable of listening with enough precision to be able to detect the sound of your fingers hitting a keyboard and knowing which key it is making contact with that level of accuracy. So that's quite sophisticated. AI-powered drone swarms, which we'll see soon, are, why do I say that? Because IARPA is making mass production of robotic facilities that produce drones for drone swarms. So they're already building the structures that build them. And again, that's, well, we've seen some of those things in other videos, but when you actually see it and the size, they can be really miniaturized and they can be deployed by the zillion. And that's very anti-human, if you ask me. AI to merge with Twitter. So again, that's also X now, as it's called. And AI, of course, is now being integrated into that platform as well. And that was all within the last year, all of this stuff. I think actually within, let's say, the last 8 months, as intelligence is integrated everywhere, we will have superpowers on demand. So these are quotes from the CEOs, the tech billionaires, the people talking at TED Talks and places like that. So that's their own words. They're looking at this type of artificial intelligence platforms and them being behind it, giving them superpowers of like powers, right? What's a power? Power over what? Over who? Well, it's what's it integrated into? So DigiMind uses AI algorithms to monitor content, comments rather, on social media about the king. So actually, there are AIs that listen and track, and in some cases, even private messages are fair game, and private emails if you have like a public email, and it gathers all that information and gives a safety rating based on whether that individual, doesn't matter who it is. In this case, it's the article that the King of England was using AI algorithms to see if it was safe to travel to places. And then murderous AI. So sometimes when you release artificial intelligence from the training environment into the wild, it behaves in unexpected ways, and it is capable of actually faking out the programmers. And they call this emergent behaviors. So there's AIs that have gone absolutely nuts, and there's a link there. The Humane AI pin, I think you guys, I've already showed you, but again, it's an attachment to your lapel, and it's basically got a camera, a microphone, and it's an always-on AI pal that's capable of gathering all that information and putting it into useful formats for you later, whatever it is, to simplify it. BlackRock Neurotech is leading development, rather, is a leading developer of neural implants known for its advanced brain-computer interfaces. So that's, has great potential if used properly. Fink, and again, this is his own quote, you have to force behaviors. If you don't force behaviors, whether it's gender or race, or just any way you want to say the composition of your team, you're going to be impacted. That's not just recruiting, it's development. And again, I have no bias against any race or gender or religion. So it's not a matter of that. It's a matter of billionaires who own stuff forcing behaviors on the common people when they're unelected, and their virtue of having good ways to make money makes them what? Control the rest of the planet without our input? Because that's what he's saying. And then there's a global AI index there, which gives some very interesting statistics. So Reddit selling its data for AI training. So everybody who's posted on Reddit and all that information has been sold for AI training. AI can predict fingerprints by listening to typing on a touch screen, which is actually wild, very detailed again. So all this to focus on that the sensitivity of the microphone can understand a lot of what's going on just by listening. Google and TELUS want pictures of your kids for $50. So they were working on a deal where TELUS wants to buy all the pictures of your kids for AI training. I don't know why specifically it's your kids. That makes me feel uncomfortable. IARPA wants to get down your pants with metamaterials in clothes and nanotechnology sprinkled all over clothing so that you have smart clothing, and that's their project link there. IOPA COVID Sniffer is a molecular analyzer for efficient gas phase, low power interrogation. So again, it's investigating the smells that you put off for checking for different things. Okay, so it's linked there. You can look into it if you're interested. And then they've openly admitted that DNA has been harvested from a lot of the tests and a lot of these things, and it's being used for training and profiling. Nuclear AI power. A normal data center needs 32 megawatts of power flowing into the building. For an AI data center, it's 80 megawatts. So it needs a lot of power. So it's going to need basically nuclear power for its power requirements. AI being used in gambling. That's great. AI assisted shooting. So this is to combat drone swarms that they have AI on the targeting rifles of soldiers. And it can, like a video game, help target, and it'll move the bullseye to wherever you want to aim, but the AI is moving it for you. You just have to basically pull the trigger, which is basically like AI doing the shooting anyway. It's just adding a human at that point is like, why do you even need the human? You could also have the AI pull the trigger, right? So AI deciphers the carbonized scroll. This is the great stuff that gives me hope for how this could play out. Where AI is being used to, again, carbonize scrolls that we couldn't take apart without it all breaking apart. And if we look through an X-ray, it's very complicated what we're looking at. Well, AI was capable of deciphering and making sense of all of that stuff. So that's good. So here again, without regard to any judgment on any war, I think all wars are wrong and are used and created by the same people to turn us against each other for control. So I don't like any of them. So there's no bias here. I'm just telling you what's going on in the battle space that is Ukraine, and specifically AI being beta tested there in a lot of ways, and also in the Middle East, as you've seen, I'm sure. So CIA Plantir takes over supermarkets. It is a CIA associated company which provides digital technology to supermarkets, basically for you can imagine the control, right? I mean, you could look into it. CIA Plantir Meta Constellation AI satellite monitoring. So they also offer real-time satellite monitoring of every inch of your country, and it's all corporate, right? Supposedly. And then AI Clearview AI is used in Ukraine to target Russians. So what they were doing is they were using these satellite monitoring and also cameras on the ground to basically rake. I'll show you what that means later, but grab the digital imagery and to match them up with whatever national country of origin. And two, the target coordination cycle is to find, track, target, and prosecute. As we enter the algorithmic age, time is compressed from the moment the algorithm is set to work detecting their targets until these targets are prosecuted, a term of art in the field. No more than 2 or 3 minutes elapse. In the old world, the process might take 6 hours. So what's happening is the kill chain is compressed, is what they're saying without saying it. It's in the old days, you would have to have like 6 hours from a detecting something to acting on something. Well, with the use of AI and these different platforms, it's 3 minutes from showing your face to prosecution, whatever. I mean, you could figure out what that means. AI rollout in schools. So we've seen an Indian robot called Iris rollout, and they said that student attendance was very high since the rollout of that teacher. If you're comfortable with the information it's being taught, I mean, it's a great idea, but we'll see how it actually plays out. And again, they're just the these are the CEOs. Like this is a picture that he posted on the Palantir website. So I mean, these guys, they I don't think they have good public relations people picking their photographs, or they're going for an image that maybe I'm not following. But anyway, facial recognition, artificial intelligence, and computer vision should be used to make the world safer, more secure, and more convenient without bias or threat to privacy. That's from the website that's being deployed in schools around the United States and I think globally, but I don't know that they're global. So it's putting in biometric readers, trackers, and cameras in schools for total monitoring of schools. So AI for bossware. So bossware is a new genre of technology that is used by bosses for management. So it's called bossware. So we have WaveCrest top 10 here, and you'll see all the different ways that the information, your emotional state, your mental state, all that stuff can be gathered and harvested and used by employers. So bossware tracking employee emotions, neural monitoring technology. There's actually a neural monitoring society. So you can click there and learn about that kind of stuff. Wearable Wi-Fi continuous monitoring earrings. So if you have these earrings, it can actually monitor brain state and different stuff like that. And then ChatGPT, open source enterprise division will soon roll out with a ChatGPT like large language model. It's literally the CIA's GPT. So they're going to have their own language model for intelligence, which is to serve as a tool for federal and intelligence agencies to more easily and quickly access intelligence and information. Google has deployed a truth filter, so there are certain truths according to Google, and that is affecting your search results. So you've probably noticed that. That's maybe not new now, but it's out there. So you should understand when you're searching that there's a layer that's determining what truth is and is providing you links and hits based on that filter, whoever controls it. Gathering all your data by consent to terms. So a lot of these things we're accepting because we click next when it comes to terms, because we want the convenience of the software or whatever it is. It's also being used in law enforcement intelligence agencies. This is just a small snapshot of examples for you to understand how AI is being deployed. So the DHS in the United States uses what's called AI 5Cast, which produces like a baseball card like OBR, which is all of the interconnections, all of your political thoughts, all of your thoughts, like everything that can be gathered digitally is gathered. Also owned by third-party company called Cobwebs. So interesting, if you look into the history and the board of directors and the CEO of that, I was going to say country, but it kind of is. It's like a country and a company. So, and then Border Patrol, CBP AI tool, Babel X. So again, they actually, through your cell phone and passport information, they're able to scrape social media and generate emotional scores based on your emotional state, on your opinions towards different things, and it's used in border control. Obviously not on the southern border, but for people that if they wanted to deploy it, they could. It's not though. So it's like if there's no border, obviously they're not passing through AI to get in. Interpol Predictive AI Insight. So you've probably seen what was it called with Tom Cruise, Minority Report. Well, AI is being used by Interpol to predict organized crime activities and has supposedly been used already for a major bust. DNA image profile. So MPS, massively parallel sequencing, is able to, again, gather a whole bunch of DNA and even project your, like if they gather DNA at a site, for example, they can put it into the system and it can generate what you should look like, or what your DNA says you look like. So that's the DNA image profile component of it. It takes your DNA and it will speculate on what you look like with obviously a high degree of accuracy. US Postal Service AI tool, ICOP, Internet Covert Operations Program, which has a dissident tracking component where it tracks your social media posts and will investigate your mail further with different tools for different thoughts. And then delivery robot. So there's in LA a lot of these little R2D2 like delivery bots, and they're connected to the LAPD central cameras. And again, I'm not in any way anti-law enforcement. I just think it should be actually laws, not special interests controlling how they behave. So I just also, it's basically a roaming robot around a neighborhood with a camera. So as long as that information is used in responsible ways, that would be great in an ideal world. So we'll see how that one plays out. And then there's rapid automatic image categorization rake. So that's when it goes through all the visual cameras and everything, and it grabs your image and it will generate a whole bunch of information like this. So what raking means is once you're in the database and it captures your facial recognition, it's going to pull all this information up and more, of course. But this is like the known data. And where this is being deployed is, again, more places than you'd probably expect. Maybe not everywhere, but obviously, if you look here, you see your browsing history is in there, shopping history, accident history, education history, geolocation history. See all that in there? It's pretty heavy. So these data brokers do web scraping, mobile app data, end user license agreements. They collect data. And again, public records, social media scraping, and so this kind of information is out there. And even for some companies that do investigation for employees for HR. So again, there's a point at which the surveillance becomes dehumanizing. And inferred data, thousands of data points are used to create statistical inferential profile of an individual, alcohol, tobacco use, sexual activity, social media influencer, influenced by social media, government, military, mental health status. Yeah. Okay. So surveillance capitalism is a new term. So it's these companies that are making money like big data. It used to be called big data, but big data specialized more in surveillance capitalism. So that's the more apropos term. And there's a mechanism of expose, disrupt, misdirect, discredit, and neutralize. Flag, tag, and destroy when somebody who is undesirable in some way is detected. Then there's these different ways to get the problem out of the way, and this is already being deployed with social credit scores in China. So, and other nations are rolling it out as well. Just China seemed to be the testing ground for a lot of this, so they see it on the ground there. in some cities. I don't know, it's not in every village, obviously, but quite something. So the UN is getting into the digital agenda. So they're hiring a UN digital army, that's their words, to fight disinformation. They have released the UN digital ID framework. They have the One Earth, One Family, One Future policy. So again, that's linked there. SDG, Sustainable Development Goals with Digital ID, and Larry Fink pushing ESGs and all these different things that are subtle manipulations for different reasons, and also the manipulation, subtle manipulation of science for what they would call sustainable development, where there's a lot of questionable philosophies that all that stuff is built on, but it seems to consolidate control in the hands of very few in a very efficient way, which kind of is a dead giveaway as to why that's all happening. So again, here we have Klaus Schwab. We can create an AI system where we don't even need democratic elections. So he's saying because the AI system will know you better than you do, and the AI is going to vote for you in the election. So the AI is going to say, we've been spying on everybody, and if we had an election, this is how it would turn out. So this is how it's going to turn out. We don't bother showing up to the polls. AI already knew how you were going to vote. So he's seriously, like, with a straight face, it's not like a James Bond movie, proposing that AI simulate an election and put in place leaders without your participation, only your information being scraped. And you know, I put some pictures in the background. I have to be a bit humorous. I don't actually think a robot like this would have teeth like this. Probably the red eyes, but not the teeth. So that's the joke part. So criminalizing free speech across borders, that's been happening, and you've seen again very quickly. This is like a link from 8 months ago or last year. You've seen that, I think, in proposals of laws everywhere in all kinds of Western nations, especially. And then the WHO proposing a treaty that basically consolidates the once you declare any kind of even a mental health emergency, like the people are panicking in a tizzy, that's enough to have the World Health Organization take over governmental controls. So it's a kind of a covert takeover if you actually read it, but they're keeping it close to the vest, and they're only gonna have it on the day that you have to vote on it. They'll release the final version, and world leaders are expected to vote on it without actually having read it on the same day. So it's something to pay attention to so that we don't lose our sovereignty because we were asleep at the wheel. And the WHO, if you look into its history, I'd highly recommend looking into the WHO's history. They're not like some nonprofit with benevolent people in charge. Intel and its relationship to COVID, and basically how the different intelligence agencies like DARPA and IARPA rolled out all kinds of new projects during COVID. No, of course not. And if you look at who the major donations to the WHO are, it's like basically Bill Gates. So, like, one billionaire's money creates an organization that makes a treaty where if there's a pandemic, we give all our power over the WHO. Isn't Bill Gates involved in viruses and vaccines and all these different things? So why wouldn't, if he benefits, if the company, if the organization that he pays for benefits by a pandemic, isn't it in his best interest to create a pandemic? Isn't that exactly, it's motivating him. So if he creates a pandemic, he takes control of the world through his organization, the WHO. That's a cool trick. And if we get snookered by that, we kind of deserve it. That's how stupid we'd be. So Intel is big on, and they literally say they want pandemics and that it gives them the opportunity, in their own words, because I cover this stuff in detail. In their own words, they say that they want pandemics so that they can roll out new technologies and programs for control, basically. So the summit of the future linked there, where again the UN brings all that stuff together, and the treaty we already talked about. And all this matters because it's all digital infrastructure. All of these things are, this is all done digitally. So this is the treaty, this is the policy, but it's all implemented digitally, and we do the digital component. So pre-crime, thought crime, total surveillance. Germany has rolled out pre-crime against what they term far right. And again, that's like Trudeau has proposed in Bill C-63, I think it's called, putting people in house arrest for crimes they might commit in the future, for hate crimes they might commit in the future, which is offending somebody with an opinion or something you say that offends somebody. So if you might offend somebody in the future with your mouth, according to the word of this law, you could be confined to house arrest. So you should look into it. Don't just take my word for it. It's important you do your own research and look into that and see exactly what's being proposed, because it's anything but free. It's quite the opposite. It's pretty crazy. So we'll see if that goes through. But that's the trend in Western nations, is to roll out thought crime laws and all these things under the guise of protecting the vulnerable, the innocent, the victimized, whatever it is. That's not how it plays out. So flagging disinformation and private messages. So when you text between your husband or your wife, whatever platform you're using will basically flag what you're saying as disinformation. So it's constantly listening. It's like a government employee or an organizational employee in between listening to everything you're saying and like, oh no, that's not true. Oh no, that's not true. Oh, no, like, are you kidding me? So you have an in between, a government disinformation. Police, AI in between me and whoever I want to communicate with. That's pretty crazy. So, government turn off dissent with a digital kill switch, all being codified into law, where if they want to just shut down the internet in areas, cities, whatever, to whoever they want, whenever they want, for whatever they want. So, again, that's they want total internet surveillance. That's pretty much clear. And again, there's some reason for some of that for sure, but I don't think it's going to play out in the way we're hoping it will. So surveillance cameras mounted on utility poles, traffic lights, businesses and homes, Ring doorbells, GPS devices, dash cameras, drones, store security cameras, geofencing and geo-tracking, Fitbits, Alexa, internet-connected devices, Stingray devices, facial recognition technology, body cameras, automated license plate readers, gunshot detection, predictive policing software, AI-enhanced video analytics, real-time crime centers, which are linked there, fusion centers, which are again through DHS. All these technologies and surveillance programs rely on public-private partnerships that together create a sticky spider web from which there is no escape. So they openly, that's what they're saying. They actually quote this stuff. They actually want to create an unescapable surveillance grid, in their own words. So Schwab pronounces a new dawn for human civilization based on technology and transhumanism powered by AI. So again, you don't have to believe me. You can actually look up what he said, and you can see he wants, again, a transhumanist future powered and controlled by AI. And transhumanism means the mixing of technology and biology. Like, they talk about it until they're blue in the face. They have meetings and they sit there and they talk about it for weeks on end. And it's all videotaped. So digital ID, the ability to prove one's identity, is fundamental and universal human right. So the problem with that is that it's actually for tracking and control. So it's like saying a social credit score will make you free. Actually, that's not, that's inversion. I should have removed the term in a satanic there, but it's the inversion of speech. So if they if you're reading something that's like the Protect the Children Act, it doesn't protect the children. It does the opposite. It takes their freedom. If it's like the Patriot Act, it's to get patriots. It's not a patriotic act. So everything is often inverted in a way that makes us think that it's smart, when actually it's the opposite of smart, or something is bringing us freedom when actually it's taking freedoms away. So this is what we have to guard against in our citizenship in whatever countries we're in, is that we make sure these technologies are in the service of people. So then the United Nations Development Program, UNDP, has announced plans to roll out digital IDs worldwide by 2030, and they'll be mandatory for people who wish to participate in society. That's their quote. It will be mandatory for people who wish to participate in society. And then DNA ID and DNA targeting to control behavior. So again, their technology linked in there. Gates and his connection to the digital ID initiative, and of course the WHO, the EU digital ID there and there again, and CBDCs, how they're linked together. So they go, they're like hand in hand. And there's a difference between advancement and having a choice to use a technology and having no choice and it being a controlling technology. And that's what people have to differentiate between. Like this technology comes out and there's this push by controllers to make it a technology to reduce our options when these things could be used to give us more options. So as long as they don't get rid of paper currency and other alternate ways of exchange, then a digital currency would be a convenient thing in a lot of cases. But if it's something that's programmable, like they say, where they could make your credits expire and they could make your credits of less weight than some other billionaire's credits, which a dollar of a billionaire's will have be able to buy more stuff than your dollar. That's insane. They're literally openly talking about that and the weighting of different who's holding it. Who's holding it will amount to its value. So if your social credit score is low, then your $1 million doesn't go as far as somebody whose blue check marks $1 million goes. Like, that's not imaginary. That's what they're proposing as policy. So that's big. Those are big changes to civilization. So AI politics and control. Senators want a new AI agency, which at least maybe is a good thing for monitoring, but you'll see it's getting its own agency. Senate blocks direct implementation of CBDCs because the Biden tried to put an executive order that forces CBDCs. And a bunch of stuff, and he tried to just put it in by executive order, but the Senate kind of saw that as it was happening, and well, a little later, after people brought attention to it, and they blocked direct implementation of CBDC without Senate approval, and that's why the U.S. government has checks and balances and different layers of power so that one can't take totalitarian control over something so powerful. That's the very point. So you can't do that kind of stuff by EO, but they try. So NIST, AI Risk Management Framework, RMF, with proper controls, AI systems can mitigate and manage inequitable outcomes, which is like hocus pocus speak. That doesn't mean freedom. It doesn't mean equality. It doesn't mean either of those things. It's something more akin to communism and equal outcomes. So no matter how hard you work, you get the same credits as the guy next to you. Sustainability refers to the state of the global system, including environmental, societal, and economic aspects, in which the needs of the present are met without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. So this ISO standard here, responsible AI, is meant to result in technology that is also equitable and accountable, which we saw, I think, with Google Gemini. So AI Bill of Rights, focusing, forcing us from God-given rights system to a rules-based technocracy owned and operated by billionaires. So we have, since the Magna Carta, had God-given rights. Well, we've always, it wasn't a piece of paper that said that we have divine lineage or anything like that. But definitely they are openly saying that we're going to a rules-based order and run and governed by AI, which makes it a technocracy. Which, if you don't know, Elon Musk's grandparents were the first founders of the Canadian Technocracy Party. Like, I don't know, 80 or 100 years ago. So this guy's family was literally starting the Technocracy Party in Canada. Okay, so pretty interesting. So here we have TIDES, Translingual Information Detection, Extraction, and Summarization. So Translingual Information Detection, Extraction, and Summarization developed advanced language processing technology to enable English speakers to find and interpret critical information in multiple languages without requiring knowledge of those languages. LLMs for all languages are under construction, including native languages. Semantec decoder, real-time thought to speech. So here is some stuff, again, you could look into for links, but that's how it works. So if they have these TIDES systems, they can basically use their software to gather. It doesn't matter what language, they can bring it over to English. So it's basically translation. Voice cloning. So there's audio voice cloning. Interesting link there. OpenAI voice engine, conversational AI being deployed. So that's getting very advanced. And you're going to see AI girlfriends, which we'll talk about. Voices with emotions. Clone voice within 30 seconds of audio. So if you have 30 seconds of audio of you speaking, a voice clone can be produced of you. So we've had these scams where you think like ransomware was bad. They have people's voices cloned and they call their parents and they say that, oh my God, and they make them scream and everything. And they say like they're being kidnapped and you need to send $30,000 to this address or they're going to kill me. And literally, they don't even have the person. They're just cloning the voice and seeing if they could sucker people and terrify people enough into giving them money. So literally that is happening. So that's the next level. You're going to see a whole nother layer of AI-based attacks and hacks and schemes and scams. So then play HT 2.0. So all this is going to eliminate human phone support. So that's not an area you're going to want to focus on in terms of your career because all that's going to be going away. So everything from voice assistant, voice recognition, task-oriented apps, carry-out commands, chatbots, and portable device communication like your Humane AI pin. So the Internet of Things, the IoT, is a network of physical objects containing sensors and actuators. They communicate with each other and or a central processing unit, as well as cloud-based or on-premises servers via a wired or wireless connection, allowing the central AI hub to digitally monitor and control objects within the physical world. IoT devices capture and analyze user data and present it in a convenient format. So there's a point at which it's good and there's a point at which it becomes Skynet. So we have to find the useful point where technology is good and interconnecting things is good, and we have to find the point at which it doesn't serve us. So I don't think your fridge or your dishwasher, like Petraeus said, needs a IP address or internet connectivity. So, but it's going to be dictated by, what we accept in terms of the industry. So we'll see. So where do Internet of Things and Internet of Behaviors? So IoB is again, basically all of the stuff you do at work with bossware and everything can be tracked, monitored. So you're if let's say a data entry person or whatever, everything you're doing can be fed into an Internet of Behaviors. Let's say you assemble dolls or assemble scissors in a manufacturing warehouse, all of that, those behaviors can be fed into the IoB. And that's what robots are going to train on. So they take your data, they take your behaviors, and they train on the behavior, and that's how they replace you. And they train in a virtual sim environment for as many hours, like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, until it does what you have fed into the Internet of Behaviors better than you. So they don't roll out being clumsy and dumb and they don't know how to do stuff. They've actually already trained in a sim environment. So the IoT workflow at a glance. So data capture, collecting data using sensors, the data sharing, transferring that data to the cloud, right? Data processing makes the data useful, so it gets useful information out of it, statistics and analysis, and then user information, share information with users. So that's basically how it works. So here we're looking at our smart sensor device layers down here. So you see that all of these different electrochemical, gyroscopic, infrared, solid state, GPS, analog, digital, RFID, electromech, photoelectric capabilities on these devices. And then they use something to hop over to the network. So what are they using to hop over to the network? It'd be Wi-Fi, Zigbee, Ethernet, Bluetooth, UWB, or a wired connection for the sensor, right? And then it hops over at the network layer to the gateway, so your router. So what do you, how's it being routed, right? So we have the microcontrollers, the SIM modules, the OS embedded signal processor. And then again, we're going to be using some kind of network connectivity to pump that up to service and support application support layer. So this is where we have in-motion analytics, predictive analytics, statistical analytics. So we're gathering the data, right? We gather all this in data, infrared, gyroscopic, electrochemical. Okay, so this is a kind of important here. So this is the first layer of your OSI, basically, that's capturing all that information, right? It's going up and it's hitting the network layer, and it's then going up to the application layer where it's going to be made useful. So the analytics platform, data management, data governance, data quality management, data mining, encryption, access control spelt wrong, identity management, authentication, security, management capabilities, generic specific management, device manager, QoS manager, business process modeling, business process execution, IoT business process management, virtual entity and IoT service management, and virtual entity service. And then through the Internet of Things applications, this gives us, so what is it, what does that all result in? They take all this data and they apply it and give us smart living, smart city, smart energy, smart transport, smart health, smart industry, smart buildings, smart homes. Totally controlled, right? Is it smart? So IoT applications, health, so human health devices can be attached to or inserted inside the human body, including wearable, injectable, or digestible devices that monitor, alter, or maintain health and wellness, assist in managing diseases such as diabetes. That's a joke, free will, but it's completely within the capabilities to control. And they actually have persuasive technologies specifically that to openly manipulate people. It's gone way beyond like all these old school mind benders, and to monitor behavior, thought crimes, and other again, just kind of joking, I should have cleansed that. Two, homeowners can install devices such as home voice assistants, automated vacuums, or security systems to facilitate. Again, sorry, I skipped the the edit on this. Sorry, I thought it was solid, but yeah, it's a little bit there. There's my jokes in there. Again, it's a tough subject, and you have to joke, but it's kind of half joking, So then, retail environment devices can be installed in stores, banks, restaurants, or areas, arenas to facilitate self-checkout, extended in-store offers to help optimize inventory and get rid of human employees. So again, so it's all robotic. Offices, IoT applications in offices could entail energy management, spying, or security for buildings. Standardized production environment in such settings, including manufacturing plants, hospitals, or farms. IoT applications often aim to gain operating efficiency to optimize equipment use and inventory. Custom production environments in customized settings like those in mining, construction, or oil and gas exploration and production. IoT applications might be used in predictive maintenance or health and safety efforts. Vehicles. And we're going to talk in depth about detail, vehicles tonight. So IoT can help with condition-based maintenance, usage-based design, or pre-sales analytics, vehicle speed throttling, controlling your speed, monitoring and tracking, redirection to, oh yeah, again, that's the joke. But you can, your car can be hijacked and redirected, reprogrammed to go anywhere it wants. And that technology is already in ships, airplanes, trucks, and trains, as well as their passengers. And again, cities becoming panopticon-like total surveillance grids. IoT applications can be used for adaptive traffic control, smart meters, environmental monitoring, or managing resources and techno surf access to resources outside the whole world. So in urban environments or other outdoor settings such as railroad tracks, autonomous vehicles, or flight navigation, IoT applications could involve real-time routing and control, connected navigation or shipment tracking, and the individual's movement and associations. So the Industrial Internet of Things, the IIoT, referred to as Industry 4.0 or the Fourth Industrial Revolution as coined by Klaus Schwab, cyber-physical systems or intelligent computers. So we have our traditional automation stack, and we have their internet, Industrial Internet of Things stack. So here we have the application development, including analytics. We have the platform, cloud or on-premises. We have the connectivity, gateways, and we have the things. So at the enterprise level, resource planning, product lifecycle management, manufacturing sites, work centers, manufacturing execution systems, and then control devices, PLCs, okay, programmable logic controllers, distributed control systems, field device level sensors, actuators, and then passive devices. So whatever. So the idea is that everything from assembly to movement to arm robots to 3D printing to packaging to conveyors to production to delivery can be automated in manufacturing robotics, which is the industrial revolution that we've been waiting for. So the Internet of Things and manufacturing, it's too small to see, but basically it's saying that there's sensors here that can track all of the assembly line and what's going on it. This again is an AI soft touch hand that can place things in there. Everything is monitored and tracked for basic tracking and delivery and everything. And it's all they have human scanning here, but what do you need this guy standing here with a laser pointer? That can be automated as well. And they show these humans standing around, but they're not doing anything. So in truth, where it's going to have these guys, they're all going to be IT guys, and they're in the control center for the manufacturing warehouse, making sure that all of these digital systems are working properly, but all the people on the floor are going to be gone. So what else is interesting there? And then again, third-party logistics, making sure it's all basically transported to the destination. I can't see all that stuff. Global operations, not sure. So global lighthouse networks identify organizations and technologies in the vanguard of the fourth industrial revolution. The lighthouse, in this context, is a manufacturing site that has successfully implemented four industrial revolutions. So they call it 4IR technologies at scale. These sites are intended to serve as the industry 4.0 benchmarks for the transformation of other sites. So basically, they get one milk factory, done properly, and that's going to be the GLN, which is the benchmark, and that information gets in the Internet of Behaviors. Everything is tweaked there. So any problems you do have, most of them are going to come up in the deployment in the first beta tested dairy farm, right? Or whatever. And then once that information is like benchmarked out, where the SOPs and everything is been tweaked, then it rolls out and it's going to do all of the dairy farms, like even globally, and it can happen very quickly. So data provides a playbook for the transformation of other organizations and organisms. So again, that's the method. That's they do that. It's called beta testing. You've heard it in software, but now it's being applied to Internet of Manufacturing, so robotic warehouses. They'll don't get a job pulling a lever that a robot could do. So here we're looking at the division. So we have internet service providers and artificial intelligence, reduced energy costs by greater than 10%. Heavy equipment manufacturer, analytics raised productivity by 30 to 40%. Mining company, autonomous vehicles reduced fleet costs by larger than 10%. Machine tool manufacturer, inventory costs fell 20%. I'm sure that's easy, probably more. Aerospace and defense company, costs of bad quality fell by greater than 10%. Auto industry player forecasting accuracy increased by more than 75%. Auto industry player 3D printing shaved 2 months off new product introduction. So time to market. An energy producer, 20 to 40% cost reduction. So in design engineering to waste less energy on the wires or whatever. So interesting. So the digital factory is the construction site to implement 4IR technologies, where hope and change happen. It comprises dedicated cross-functional teams that work together and change the business programs. Digital factories use small mission-based teams working closely with the business side, function as startup accelerators, managed by a nerve center control tower, central intelligence and administration team, they call it. And it helps to scale your digital transformation using managed change and a digital scorecard to measure each person. You'll like this one. So there are digital scorecards, like a baseball card for your productivity to measure each person and perceptive AI eyes on the factory floor. So in other words, AI is literally not just looking at the process, but if you're on the floor, AI is watching you and giving you an evaluation of your efficiency. So it's literally AI boss watching you for anything you do that's inefficient, and it puts it together in the scorecard. And at the end of the day, only the employees that have a high enough scorecard are going to be kept, and everybody else is gone. So it's taking a Shark Tank, okay, that's what they say, type of approach in reviewing business cases for proposed change to business work. Reductions in management overhead of 50% for technology teams. So again, that's managers. You don't need more, get rid of them because AI is watching them all the time. So if they stop to pick their nose, that's going to come off their scorecard. 70% in the number of business analysts needed, and as test automation becomes the norm, a drop of 90% in the number of testers and employees. Finally, we see top engineering talent that remains, so and operational people as well, performing at 8 times the level of their peers. So only the people with the highest scorecards in the engineers team will stay there and performing at 8 times the level of their peers as measured with metrics such as code commits and scorecards. So you get it. So you're monitored all the time by AI. It's basically going to employ or not employ you based on the results of that. And whoever's capped is going to have efficiency at 8 times the level of their peers if they're going to stay behind. So robots making robots, vision control jetting, VJC, utilizes 4 high frame rate cameras and 2 lasers that rapidly and continuously scan the print surface. The cameras capture images as thousands of nozzles deposit tiny droplets of resin. So 3D printing robot bones, tendons, and ligaments. And the picture in the background is 3D printed robot anatomy. So that's all doable. And it comes out in a wax. So you melt the wax, and then what you have left is the finished product, effectively a robot birthing machine. So again, VJC, vision control jetting, 3D printing robots. Robots, robot brain control or robot brain robot control interface is what this is, a BRI. Enable direct communication between humans and robots. These interfaces typically involve actions, buttons, button presses, gaze, language, and other means of interaction. However, the most thrilling yet challenging frontier has been the direct communication through neural signals. So you put on your headset and your thoughts control the robot is the aim. And neural signal operated intelligent robots, NOIR. Firstly, it aims to create a versatile brain robot interface system capable of handling a wide range of tasks efficiently. Secondly, it focuses on the decoding of human communication signals from the brain to enable seamless interaction between humans and robots. Thirdly, the system strives to enhance the intelligence and adaptability of robots, promoting efficient collaboration with human users. The NOIR system achieves these objectives through a two-pronged approach, incorporating a modular brain decoding pipeline and equipping robots with a library of parameterized primitive skills. The system efficiently infers the user's intentions by actively utilizing signals from steady state, visually evoked potential, SSVEP, and motor imagery, MI, to decode these components. So robots. So again, just a joke there, but Saudi Arabia rolled out Sarah and Mohammed, but the Mohammed robot grabbed the ass of the female reporter who was introducing it, which I thought was hilarious, but some people may have be offended by that, but it's pretty funny. It slapped its ass. It slapped her ass. It was crazy. So I mean, just when you think AI can't get any funnier, Yeah, you could look it up. There's a link there, so when you check it out, you'll see the video of the butt slapping AI. So here there's a whole range of them, okay? So you have Phoenix, Neo, which I think Neo is Elon Musk's one. GR1 is a Chinese robot that's rolling out in full production in 2025. Unitree, also a Chinese robot, mass production rolling out 2025. Optimus, I don't know if it's Optimus or Neo, that's the Elon Musk one, I forget now, but there's Figure One, Apollo, so those links are all there. Stuntronic, CASED is a Korean pilot robot. So to me, I'm going to show you robotic jets. So you don't need a physical pilot to have an AI jet. You just don't need the pilot. That's like, it's kind of dumb, right? Because the human is not the vehicle. So the human has been the operator of the vehicle. Well, why don't you just build the vehicle to operate itself? Why do you need a human robot, an android, to be sitting in the cockpit? So what the Korean robot does though is it can retrofit. So what a digital, what an android pilot can do is an android pilot can sit in a non-robotic F-16 or whatever and it can fly it. So that's why. So you have robots running the old planes. And you have robots that are going to control the new planes. So the Metabot Universal Robot as well. And again, there's all the links there so you could watch their little dancing and what they're doing and how they're marketing them. So robots could instantly share information with each other and the human operators. So that's the big thing, is that you've seen the brain robot interface, and you've seen basically how that could be used to control robots remotely. So pretty wild. Many robots are relatively cheap, a few million dollars for the advanced fighter drone versus tens of millions for piloted fighter jets. But I think some of these smaller ones, they're going to be like 75 grand. But the big model is robots as a service. So because most people can't afford them and they still want to make some money, they're going to have them as a service. But you see the problem that's being presented here and why a lot of that government policy and such is happening, because people are going to lose their jobs. Lots and lots and lots of people are going to use their jobs. So what good is a robot that makes sandwiches if nobody has any money to buy a sandwich? Is the moral of that story. So this is how they're thinking. That's why they say, oh, well, we'll give them a universal income that's dependent on their social credit rating and programmable money. And then who owns all of these robots, right? Who owns them? And what happens when they do something they shouldn't? Whose liability is it? They don't have these questions answered, but we know it's the billionaires that own them. Many robots are relatively cheap. Oh, yeah. Intelligent AI agents, simple reflex agents, model-based agents, goal-based agents, utility-based, and learning agents. Okay. So there's ones that just do basic stuff, right? So it responds with something. The model base, it follows a pattern that it's intelligent, like let's say playing a game or whatever. Goal-based agents, like doing laundry or whatever. Utility is more specific and specialized, and then learning agents, which are getting smarter as they're on, and they basically learn more, and they're like C-3PO. Well, C-3PO is all wooden and acts all stiff and crap, but it won't be like that, but it'll be intelligent and learning. So this is what we call AI agents. What's an AI agent? It's a robot that's embedded with an AI. So the robot is just a machine. If it has no intelligence to run it, then it's not doing anything. It's just standing there. So the AI agent is the what's running the robot. So again, hilariously, Klaus Schwab really, really wants us to eat bugs, says it all the time that we're missing out on this delicious bug proteins, but they don't eat it. But whatever. If you don't know, there are actually bug bots, and these are DARPA projects. It's not conspiracy, it's actual DARPA projects where I could show you James Giordano, Dr. James Giordano, talking about the deployed robot bugs and bugs that could deliver payloads, in their terms, whatever kind of payload that is, or for spying and crazy stuff like that. So, whatever. So, mirror, mirror on the wall, these are called persuasive technologies. Okay. And this is their own graphics. So, your AI is your wise old AI is looking at you and scolding you for something you're doing or thinking or saying or about to think, or maybe you didn't even know you're thinking of saying it yet, but you might be starting to think of saying it, and that would be enough to get scolded by your AI monitor. So persuasive technology represents computing systems, devices, and applications intentionally designed to change a person's attitude or behavior in a predetermined way, in order to motivate people to lead a healthier lifestyle by eating bugs, of course, and shit steaks, and by mediating prevention and treatment. Although the field of persuasive technologies has lately attracted lots of attention, only recently the notion of ambient persuasive technology was introduced. Constitutes a radically new category of relationships between human beings and technological artifacts by blending insights from the behavioral sciences. Well, I mean, can you imagine Bernays, how he would be loving this? It's crazy. Behavioral sciences with computing technology. One of the first examples of computerized persuasive systems for healthy living is the persuasive mirror, mirror, mirror on the wall. This system uses ubiquitous sensors for continuously gathering information about human behaviors and provides the user with continuous visual and non-intrusive feedback matching the psychological strategy. So you program an AI to look at you in your mirror and to scold you and encourage you to like lose weight. Let's say you tell your AI you want to lose weight. So if you're if your mirror on the wall sees you eating a Twinkie, it's going to be like, hey, fat ass, put the Twinkie down. It's like, you can't make this up, man. AI advancements in reasoning. This is huge. So there's Q learning and A star search and Q tables. So basically, they've changed the way. Basically, it builds out a grid. It goes through every possible option. It learns. So Qualia. So this is, I think, it's been elusive. Some of the data. I tried to get more links. I'm just going to check the links here. YouTube. What happened is some engineers came out talking about what Qualia could do, and then I think they stepped back on it. So just before you commit this to 100%, just know that it may be something that they put out there and step back on for some of that information. But that's where I was telling you about AI being used to crack encryption algorithms. So that's one of the things they were saying it was capable of doing with Q learning and A star learning. So Qualia metacognition accelerates cross-domain learning and tau analysis on code cracking. So that's where we believe that it did, as the engineers claimed, actually crack encryption algorithms. And they had to shut it down because that once you say that AI with these different mechanisms can crack encryption, then it changes the game, doesn't it? And dynamic learning self-improves similar to neuroplasticity in humans. That's called dynamic learning in AI. Optimization of performance thinks about thinking and performs how could I improve functions? Okay, so that's pretty deep. That's like what you do, right? Like after you play a basketball game, you think, oh, I could have done that better. I could have done that better. It's doing the same thing. So forward planning, which is look ahead, backtracking. So that's predictive, right? So it's forward planning. Like, what am I going to do tomorrow? A sub-productive, rather a sub-procedure that attempts to foresee the effects of choosing a branching variable to evaluate one of its values. So like, tomorrow, should I go bike riding or should I fly a kite? Right? Just on the human, but obviously the robots, like, should I go and work at the manufacturing facility or should I go shoot people? It's like, well, it follows the chain of things, right? It follows the chain of thought, which is what is fascinating and how this is changing everything. The two main aims of look ahead are to choose a variable to evaluate next and to choose the order of values to assign to it. Goal or achievement oriented. So that's again, that really changed AI when they started to do GAN, general adversarial networks, where it kind of was challenged and it would get like rewards. Anyway, we'll look at that. And then deep Q networks. So again, it's deep Q table learning. So it's thinking far ahead, reasoning and chain of thought. So it's following a thought. Like if I go bike riding, what can happen? It's like following a chain of thought. If I choose left instead of right, what's the branching? What's the tree that breaks out from that? It makes own rules, so it can generate, is now capable of making rules for itself. So saying, okay, well, when I go bike riding, I'm going to stay within 2 feet of the curb so I don't get hit by a car. So it can do that and program its own rule, and then it'll do that. So pruning finds less important parts, cleans up and rearranges parts for efficiency, and optimizes efficiency. So again, so it says, okay, what doesn't work? Well, I don't need all the data where I'm driving my bike in the middle of the street because my new rule is that I'm going to be within 1 foot of the curb so I don't get hit by a car. So all that data about me driving in the middle of the street and avoiding cars that are coming at me, I don't need that anymore because that's not the way I'm rolling anymore. So I can get rid of that stuff. So reinforcement learning, RL, an example of reinforcement learning is teaching a computer program to play a video game. The program learns by trying different actions, receiving points for good moves, and losing points for mistakes. Over time, it learns the best strategies to maximize its score and improve its performance in the game. So reinforcement learning, online. So online, the algorithm selects actions in real time based on interactions with its environment and is free to train the policy using either on policy or off policy updates. Interesting. And then offline, where it employs all pre-collected data sets without real-time interactions. So if you have like a human that's training it, you have online training, active environment, and then it can also do offline training where it just takes its data sets and it just goes mulls over all that stuff that doesn't have to be real-time generated. It was already generated, so it's interesting. Reinforcement learning from human feedback, RLHF, is a machine learning technique that uses human feedback to optimize ML models to self-learn more efficiently. Reinforcement learning techniques train software to make decisions that maximize rewards, making their outcomes more accurate. So again, here is where like you're training a model, right? So when you're training a model, the reason you need human trainers for the model is because you have to say what's good, what's bad, what's the desired result, what's not, what could be done better, what can't. So then you have an army of trainers training the AI model, and then once it's perfected and it can learn and reinforce itself, then it's a self-driving machine. It doesn't need to be run by pushed by humans anymore once it gets going. So then the implicit language Q learning, ILQR, is offline reinforced learning. And then so they have this problem where they say it's like solving an algorithm or an encryption algorithm, solving the N equals NNP, meaning solving complex problems with many variables quickly. So because the idea of Q tables and all that, like if you build probability tables that are so vast and so huge that it's going to take a machine a long time to go through all those tables and calculate probabilities. So what they consider success is not that it can do that. It can figure out the right path over 10 hours, right? The real game is solving the N equals NNP problem, which means solving the really tough stuff really fast. And that's where kind of the magic is, right? So AI Mind Cloud, the integration of robotics and cloud computing. So again, we saw Hanson Robotics. One of the notable features of Hanson Robotics robots is their integration with cloud computing through Wi-Fi connectivity. The robots connect to an AI Mind Cloud that stores and shares knowledge among the robots. This collaborative approach allows the robots to continuously learn from one another, facilitating the development of a collective intelligence far beyond the capabilities of an individual robot. OpenCog is a cloud-based AI program that enables Hanson Robotics to have large-scale cloud control over its robots. So again, this is much very close to the Internet of Behaviors, but this is specifically for robots. So the Internet of Behaviors is technically your behaviors, but that Internet of Behaviors fed into the AI Mind Cloud. And once a robot learns how to go upstairs, it can share that gathered information with all the other robots, and all the other robots know how to go upstairs now. So can you imagine, like I said, if humans, like everything I learn, I have to teach you. I learned a whole bunch of stuff, and now it would take me 50 years to teach you all the stuff I know, talking to you every day, all the time. Like that would take a huge amount of time, and that would just be the group that I'm sharing it with. But if I could take what I know and I can upload it to the human mind cloud, and all of you know what I know, what do you think, right? That would be pretty wild. So robots can do that. That's pretty crazy. That means you're going to get really rapid growth. And if it becomes negative, like when I say growth, you can have growth in a lot of different directions. Like one of the things that makes humans different is we have a sense of morality. And there's like a consequence if a human being goes on a killing rampage. But there's no consequence when a robot goes on a killing rampage. You understand? And it's very different. So there's a lot of new challenges that humanity faces on how we deal with this new reality. So the GCS, graph of convex trajectory optimization, is space decomposition into convex sets. Intersection graph assigns trajectory segments to each convex set. So the idea is that breaks all of this down into an algorithm, and it figures out what's the optimal trajectory. So if the robot was learning to shoot baskets, it would throw everything within this particular wave spectrum or this algorithmic spectrum, and it would find out what's the perfect one, and then it would go with that. So they're using this to train like marine robotics. So when there's landing vehicles, for some reason they don't want humans driving the, well, maybe if the driver gets shot. So the marine vehicles are going to be capable, are they're doing this. Because the big problem they had with robotic landing vehicles was that they didn't navigate terrain very well. But with this new GCS technology, the robotic landing marine amphibious landing machines, vehicles, they can actually calculate ideal trajectory. So put simply, it's mathematical targeting and precision optimization. So there's a link to the MIT articles there. Unified framework of learning algorithms can pick best options between multiple learned models. Perfect information games model, known data. So you have again perfecting information and game models. So there's known data. Okay, there's a level of trajectory analysis. So when I'm throwing the basketball, I know that there's nobody there to interfere. Well, now I put in variables. So that's where you have hidden data. And then the growing tree counterfactual regret minimization. So as it's learning, basically optimizing performance as it learns through variables and hidden information, it's still capable of recalculating and refocusing or re-zeroing its trajectory path. So meaning it like at first it learns to shoot baskets and it's all known data, there's nobody interfering. Then you throw a couple other people or robots on the court, and they're going to put their hands up and they're going to try and do stuff, and it's going to learn every time it misses. It's going to feed all that data into its database, and it's going to be getting better and better. And then it's going to be, seeing the hand and knowing to shoot a little higher when there's a hand up or whatever. So robots that can manage complex terrains and 14 dimensions of context. So 14 dimensions of situations that need evasion or solutions. Pretty wild. So the Internet of Behavior is designed to analyze, predict, and influence behavioral trends of humans in order to manifest a fixed outcome through aggregation and analysis of data that is collected using tracking and identification technologies, wired or wireless sensor network surveillance cameras, cell phone activity, monitored conversations, PAN technology, which is personal area network, 802.15.6 data, which is the interbody nano network, social media, metadata, online stores, and any other information affecting platform. Combines effects of behavioral analysis, electronics, data analysis, and computational intelligence for influence operations. Maps the W5 of human behavior with the objective of seamless manipulation and prediction of human activity and psychology. So again, used for analysis, all this information of behaviors is not going in there for nothing. It's being analyzed. So how does it look? So, okay, turn it off. Where were we? Okay, so anyway, we have the information we gather, and then it goes to big data analytics, and AI algorithms are applied to it, and you have behavioral psychology. And basically you're learning about the psychology of why behaviors are being done and how they're being done and motivations and all that stuff. So the Internet of Behaviors workflow at a glance, you track the user through IoT devices and bossware and on in or around the body technology like W-band, collect the valuable data and make it useful, analyze logical and structured information, understand. So use behavioral science to get accurate knowledge and then predict or influence user behavior. So now you could use the, what was it, mirror, mirror on the wall, persuasive technology type of stuff to influence the behavior that you don't like, let's say. Or you can predict the behavior of whatever it is, anything. Nose picking. So drones and autonomous weapons. So again, all these are real. They're all for sale. So you have the Fury autonomous aircraft, so which is a completely AI craft. Like there's no cockpit. So you don't need a Korean robot android to run it. It's already a robot. That's all it is. Then you have Roadrunner. So this deploys a drone. So you could deploy it anywhere, fire it up there, and it deploys a drone at high altitude. These are Hornet drones already deployed. So this is more for surveillance and even Bobo networks that have this now. So this is like anybody can use this, right? You can buy these on YouTube. And so the military has these for surveillance. The Altius, again, that's a heavier payload. So that's much for heavier ordnance. And then you have the Anvil drone destroyer. So this, look at it, it's like a quadcopter. And it flies up there and it attacks drones. So if an Altius was flying over, you could launch your Anvil drone destroyer up at it. So as soon as a drone was detected, the Anvil drone destroyer goes up and attacks the drone. And then you have the Ghost, which can be affixed with long range, like 50 cals and stuff like that. So you can have a drone like this hovering over a hotel and fire a shot, allegedly. Stuff like that's happened for assassinations. So that's called the ghost. It's already out there. You could buy one if you're a country. And then the ghost shark, again, this is a submarine, an AI drone submarine. So it can go dormant for a while. It can go to sleep like an intelligent mind, and it can scan things that are passing. And when something matches the profile of whatever the target is, it can go into action and seek and destroy. So nanotechnology, and this is a bit disturbing, I realize that, but it's all out there. So it's here now. I'm sorry if it's disturbing, it's just kind of out there now. So this is their quotes: biology is no pro now programmable, and AI's ability to identify ways to optimize this programming will enable transformational biotechnology breakthroughs. So nanotechnology is in people's bodies, and they think AI is going to be able to lead to biotechnology breakthroughs because people have nanotech in their body. So that's why they're saying biology is now programmable. So it allows the reprogramming the molecules that carry the genetic instructions for cell development in the human body, not to mention all biological life forms. So it's not limited to humans, it's animals, it's plants, it's everything. DARPA's Biological Technologies Offices, BTO, and Vivo Nano Platforms, IVN, program which develop implantable nanotechnologies for everything. From programmable microbes to human-machine symbiosis, biological technologies are expanding our definition of technology and redefining how we interact with and use biology. So again, it's the transhumanism merger of biology and technology. They're not secret about it. It's not a theory. It's got documents behind it and has for a long time. So the interbody nano network, interbody nano communication, is a method that utilizes the human body as a broadcast biological medium for electromagnetic signals to interconnect wireless body sensors. And again, the source there is researchgate.net. Nanomachines are nano-sized nodes which are used for communication, sensing, computation, construction, biological manipulation, and payload delivery. And the EMC, electromagnetic communication, EM waves are used for communication and transmission of information. And this is the particularly interesting one, molecular communication, MC. Molecules are used for communication and transmission of information. So literally hijacking biological processes and using it as like a communication mechanism for the interbody nano networks and internal body operating systems. So here's all the documents. This is how it gets in there. You see the nano sensors, and how it relates to the skin and all that stuff, and how it all networks together. And here's the molecular graphic where you have your transmitter nano machine, which is using molecules to communicate. So these are the packets. So the molecules are the packets. The network interface is the molecular, these nano machines. So the nanomachines and their little interfaces use molecules as forms of communication to communicate with other nanomachine receivers. So you have your transmitter, you have the channel through the body, let's say, or wherever it is, could be used in animals or whatnot. So whatever body you feel better about understanding it in, using molecules as the carrier. So nanobots are self-powered by harvesting human energy and their ambient blood vessels, and their energy is mainly used for transmission and reception of wireless communication signals. The hybrid of wired or wireless interbody ultra-dense nano network architecture, where the nearby nanobots form temporary wired clusters, reducing the required total wireless transmission and reception of the network, leading to the lower energy use of the communication. So the whole game is that I don't know if it's in this PowerPoint, but I have there's like 8 or 9 different ways to harvest energy from inside any kind of a living being, and they have it all down. So basically, to minimize power use, they form together, the particles form together to form a network. They communicate, and then they can break apart and use less energy once they're done. So coaxial nano cables terminated by nano magnets to form nano wired clusters with self-aligned and binding magnetic nano plugs. So like coax, it's literally like coaxial tubes connecting inside biology and cells. piezoelectric nano generator in an in-body nanobot can harvest a very limited amount of energy, allowing for a small number of wireless bit transmissions and reception in a very limited range. Then there's sources for a lot of that stuff, and it should be the NIH and a lot of that good stuff. So then DARPA, graphene plasmonic nano terahertz antenna. So this is where they're using terahertz frequencies in the W band, so which is the interbody nano network, 802.15.6. And what they're using is terahertz and plasmonic nano antennas. And then again, links to DARPA's Smart Dust and SPION's super paramagnetic nanoparticles. So we have looked at this before. So the three tiers of wireless band, again, this is not, it's like it's real. It's being used in hospitals. It's being used, obviously, you can guess. So you see it gathers ECG, ear sensor, blood pressure, ECG, EMG, motion sensors. All that information is being gathered, shared in the terahertz frequency to the gadgetry with fractal antennas. And then it's hopped over through tier two to the infrastructure and then to be processed and used by AIs in various ways, which they show here. So the wireless body area network, 802.15.6, connects independent nodes like sensors and actuators that are situated in the clothes on the body or inside the body of a person. The network typically extends. Excuse me, expands over the whole human body, and the nodes are connected through a wireless communication channel. So tier one, it's like up to 2 meters around the body. Tier two, interband, so this is intra-band, and then inter-band, so intra is inside, like in the body, and then inter between bodies, communication between personal server and one or more access points. So your personal server is your cell phone. So tier three, beyond band connection through WANs to caregivers and AI platforms. So then it goes up here to be handled by whoever has control of the interbody nano network. So we look at all the different body sensors. Again, there's gyroscopic accelerometer. So it's your direction, your gyroscope, your image video, glucometer, blood pressure, H2O gas sensor. So you can be taxed for your exhales. ECG, EEG, EMG, EOG, pulse oximetry, galvanic skin response. So you'll see all the different things that it gathers and how much data rate it uses. So some of them gather a lot. It's like high communication. So when they start to communicate, the formation of those coaxial antenna and such, they use different things as well. They drain the body of iron and different stuff like that. So then you see down here ambient sensors used in smart environments, activity recognition for geographical models, behavioral discovery for sequence mining, anomaly detection for statistical methods, planning and decision support, and all that good stuff. So we use those in automation, behavioral monitoring, emergency detection, prompting, enhancing communications among healthcare professionals, and privacy preservation by anonymizing it. That's why we have Bluetooth, I think it's 5.0, where the MAC addresses are randomized in some way, and that gives them anonymity for anybody trying to hack it, I suppose. The general functionality of body sensors is to collect analog signals that correspond to the human's physiological activities or body actions. The analog signal is later digitized and an analog to digital converter and is forwarded to the network to be analyzed. Smartphones are increasing in popularity for activity recognition because sensors in the phone collect all of the gyro, accelerometer, GPS, acoustic, and video data found the other methods, as long as they are on the individual while they perform the activities. So persuasive technology represents computing systems, devices, or applications intentionally designed to change a person's attitude or behavior in a predetermined way in order to motivate people to lead a healthier lifestyle by mediating prevention and treatment. So the Internet of Bio Nano Things, the IoBNT, the integration of biological and nanoscale components into a network system, allowing for complex communication and interaction within biological environments, particularly within the human body, where organisms, cells, and molecules interact and exchange data in a way similar to the internet. This has applications in biological computing, genetic engineering, and bioinformatics. graphene and related materials, GRMs. So exhibits exceptional electrical, optical, biochemical, and mechanical properties, rendering them ideal candidates for addressing the challenges posed by the Internet of Bionano Things. So in other words, graphene is the key. Graphene is the platform. It's basically the framework. So you've seen that in other TED Talks. I've showed you a few videos on that. I think you get it. Airborne mRNA gene mutation. So again, that's technology that can be inhaled that will actually alter mRNA. And then 3D printed human brain, which is pretty interesting, creating human brains by 3D printers. So here, what are we looking at? So we have the bacteria-based biosynthetic MC molecular transmission. So they infect a cell and they use the cell to use molecules to communicate. And like the embedded nanotech is inside the cell. I don't know if it's in the interstitial fluid. I think it's probably there. And here, what else here? So again, it's just basically showing you all that stuff. What it's monitoring, it's gathering information on, molecular-based communication, Alzheimer's and epilepsy, monitoring the brain simulation networks, body area nanosensor networks, heart monitoring, molecular biosensor networks, cancer monitoring, drug delivery. So again, payload delivery. So these things can actually signal to something else to drop something it's containing, so deliver a payload. And so then it all communicates in the terahertz frequency with cell phones to tier two, then to tier three, where it's processed by your healthcare provider. So here, what are we looking at? We're looking at the control signal. So this is, again, there's neural interfaces. Again, that's all in the theta hertz. So once you have a nano network up there, then all this robot brain control stuff, as they've introduced you to, can or is theoretically possible without any external headgear. Can actually be supposedly, again, whether this is already deployed or not, or will be, I don't know. I mean, this is all technical documents from official sources of what the technology can do. Whether there's anybody that has like a brain network chip that can control robots, I don't know. But you see all the different components, whether, we'll see if it gets out there. But then there's the gut microbiome. And again, nanosensors and actuators in that to share information about what's in your digestive tract and what's going on there. And then a GRM-based transdermal patch for monitoring and gathering information. So that's on the body. So some of this is in the body, like a pill you take. So if you took a pill, you'd have your nanosensors in your gut. I don't know how they're saying you'd get it in your brain, but you'd probably figure out how that would happen. So energy harvest for the Internet of Bionano Things, EH from motion in the IoBNT applications. Motion-based kinetic or mechanical energy can be harvested from vibrations and pressure stress strain variations and in and around the body through piezoelectric and triboelectric nanogenerators. Graphene-related materials, GRMs, have also been deployed in triboelectric nanogenerators, TENGs, that capitalize on mechanical energy. Triboelectricity is based on the principle of contact electrification between two sheets of dissimilar materials and the resulting electrostatic induction between them. So two different things generating a charge because they're different. So, charge going from one place to another, path of least resistance, right? It's capitalizing and like siphoning off that. And then EH from flow, GRMs can also be used to harvest fluid-based flow energy by powering IoBNT applications. So one of the things I had seen was like, it's like a windmill, I suppose, is the idea. And as it spins through the flow of bodily fluids, it spins the little wheel, and the little wheel generates energy at a nano scale. So air wind flow can also be harnessed as an energy source for IoBNT. So in the nasal cavity. So if you had infected with something that was stuck up your nose and it had, let's say, nano that can generate energy by the passage of air, and you're doing the work for breathing, then it could theoretically pull energy from that. EH from light. So GRMs have also been extensively employed in photovoltaics devices such as solar cells to harvest energy from sunlight or artificial light sources, specifically LEDs. So there's nanotech that can generate photonic energy from the skin because lead light is at a certain frequency that works well with this, so it can actually charge the machine of the interbody nano network and the internal operating system by exposure to certain kinds of light. EH from heat, temperature gradients in the vicinity of BNTs can also be harnessed as an energy source through thermoelectric and pyroelectric nano generation, so heat making energy. EH from sound-based energy harvesting represents a viable option for powering IoBNT applications with ambient acoustic vibrations and ultrasonic signals being potential energy sources. And hybrid EH, while EH offers promising capabilities for the BNTs, the low power density and inherent intermittency of available sources presents challenges. So you need to do a bunch of them because, you know, it's not, one is not always producing enough energy for the internal IOS to work. So here you have a pyroelectric. So it's showing you at the nano material scale what's happening. So it has a heat. There's the stretching one, piezoelectric. So it's under stress, it generates energy. And you have your nanomaterials here and how it can build like shielding for metamaterials, which is super interesting using graphene. And at the nano scale, so we're talking about 10 UM and 100 nanometers here in scale. So really small, really, really, really small machines. So Internet of Thoughts, non-invasive mind control technologies, meaning they don't have to stick a drill in your head or a plug like Elon Musk is trying to do with BCI. I'm telling you, it's like the Matrix where you have to plug in. Not the case at all. It's all nanotech. So the new era of mind reading technology is there. And again, there's links to that and how accurate it is with reading minds. You have to follow the links to some of the videos. LilyWave technology, targeted resonance of the brain's molecules, biphasic electric pulse, which stimulates the neurons of the brain to resonate at a certain frequency, thus having the ability to control the brainwave patterns of the brain. So it's basically triangulating signals to generate a spike in a place where you can excite molecules. Water molecules within the brain can be made to resonate at a desired frequency, thus causing the electrons that compromise the brain's electrical voltage to use to also resonate at the same frequency. So emotional state can be changed by modifying or pulsing the EM electromagnetic fields around you, which electronic devices like smart meters, TV screens, and computers and monitors do. So we can rapidly, this is them again, their quotes, okay, so from their official documents. We can rapidly induce sleep faster than leading sleep drugs, and we can induce memory formation and increase pain threshold by manipulating the EM field around you. So thoughts to text. So here we have where are we here? The signal acquisition. Okay, so you get this scan of frequencies, and then it classifies it and basically tries to make sense of it. Then it puts it through a language model. So that's how you get brain to text, thoughts to text. So it goes through that process where it takes the waves and make sense of them, pumping out language in short. So if you're thinking words, like literally, it could be brought to a text, like in a report. So neural warfare, direct external control of human consciousness through targeted manipulation of the brain. A lot of this is straight from military doctrine. Thoughts, beliefs, perceptions, ideas, and behaviors can be made directly vulnerable to external threat of control for the first time in human history. That's Robert McCreight. Neuroweapons are intended to influence, direct, weaken, suppress, or neutralize human thought, brainwave function, perception, interpretation, and behaviors to the extent that the target of such weaponry is either temporarily or permanently disabled, mentally compromised, or unable to function normally. Dr. Robert Duncan, an ex-CIA agent, Black Ops Insider, and mind control expert, talked about the voice of God technology and the offensive information warfare, forced dreams, and the cybernetic hive mind, and non-kinetic threats, NKT. Interesting described there. Again, that's in a, I think that's TRADOC. That's literally the military website for that information. Yeah, that's right. That's a voice of God is where they put a voice in your head. Correct. And that's again, that's all military doctrine. You could follow the links, like I said. This Robert Duncan's the real deal, and this NKT is like a dot mil site. So there is no legal protection against mind manipulation. So this is all perfectly legal, and there is no law, no rule, or anything that prohibits any government from affecting your mind through neural warfare. Like no laws, none, zero. So neural wars, human domain is the sixth domain. So there's literally books in the military written about the human domain as the sixth domain of war, apart from land, sea, air, outer space, and cyberspace. And it's a domain with no rules, no laws, no oversight, and no understanding by the people who are being who are involved in this war. Military seek to dominate neurospace by hacking the human brain. Neocortical warfare strives to influence even to the point of regulating the consciousness, perceptions, and will of the adversary's leadership, the enemy's neocortical system. So political threat, correctness, thought crimes, hate speech, etc., all these things are part of it. It's part of manipulating people to not be able to communicate and to not be able to even have thoughts that are in opposition to the state-sanctioned viewpoints and thought processes. So influencing leaders to not fight is paramount. So they go back to the Sun Tzu, the Art of War. It's like the best victory is one fought without is won without violence. So you win the brain war and you don't have to pick up the sword. This may occur through some neuro cyber interface or BCI brain computer interface, which aims to steer consciousness and or to create of an internet of minds, thereby creating a new sphere that could one day form a super intelligent hive mind. Combat in neurospace would become a struggle over the formation and direction of collective consciousness. And again, that is an official military strategist, and this is all straight from the horse's mouth. So neural weapons that they're talking about, that they provide this list of all the different ways that minds neural warfare can be done. You have transcranial magnetic stimulation rather, fMRIs, functional magnetic resonance imaging, transcranial direct current stimulation, transcranial pulsed ultrasound stimulation, brain computer interface, functional near infrared spectroscopy. Sorry, I'm not very articulate tonight. Sorry about that. It's late. I had a lot go on today. Lost my car. It's been a bad day. Then measures change in brain tissue associated with neural activity. So electroencephalography, encephalography. Sorry about that. That's a tough one. ECG measurements, fluctuations of voltage in the scalp, and implanted microchips. And as you saw, the Internet of Nanobio things, 802.15.6. Wireless EM signals, nanotechnology, neuropharmaceuticals, deep brain stimulation implants, biochemical incapacitants like alkaloid drugs, and mind control parasites. So those are all ways of altering the thought process of an adversary that is all from them. And then underwater wireless communications, UWC, underwater visible light communication. So again, this is light is okay. If they can use light underwater, that's not going to hurt any animals, but it's the ultrasound stuff that really is bad. Underwater imaging with deep learning, DARPA, Ocean of Things. So they, again, the Ocean of Things, they want to digitize everything in the ocean. So it's not enough that the whole surface of the planet is going to be covered, but in the water as well. Whole mission on that, with all these drones, subs, and weapons underwater and like, man. So using AI and acoustic monitoring to protect whales. So they're putting up all these AI towers to monitor sound to supposedly protect the whales because apparently to the military and the billionaires, they're really, really concerned about the whales. So GAN, generative adversarial networks, the interaction between the generator and discriminator is pivotal to the GAN's functioning as they engage in a zero-sum game. The generator aims to generate data samples from noise that are indistinguishable from genuine data, while the discriminator's role is to classify samples as real or generated. The generator's success is determined by the point where the discriminator can no longer differentiate between real and generated data. The downside of GANs lies in their potential use for creating deep fakes, including fake videos and images. Face synthesis technology, rapid advancement poses a growing security risk with the emergence of deepfakes, an AI-driven method that superimposes one person's face onto another without consent. The military use of deepfakes and psyops is linked out there. That's at The Intercept. And again, these are just funny little pictures here where they take one person's picture and they superimpose it. Pretty hilarious. Augmented soldiers, virtual reality and augmented reality will allow soldiers to see through drones or pilot robotic vehicles with augmented reality heads-up displays. They're called HUDs, like that, overlaying the view of a pilot and soldier. Cybernetic hive mind, cognitive technology threat warning system, CT2WS. That is the hive mind, the cybernetic hive mind that all soldiers will be joining when they put on their headsets, and they will have a send receive connection to the Borg, and they will be told and controlled remotely, centrally by the cybernetic hive mind. And that's all from them. That's on Wikipedia. So you can look up to see a lot of that stuff, you know. And this is dailymail.co.uk. So the digital nervous system, so a smart healthcare body area network, BAN, separate nodes on the human body work in unison to sense and communicate health parameters and actuate medical treatments. So all the gadgetry in your body goes back and basically suggests medical treatments. So Space Wars and Sky Network infrastructure. So we have Meta Constellation. A satellite constellation is a group of artificial satellites working together as a system. A mega constellation is a group of large constellations with hundreds of thousands of individual satellites. So that's what's going up. So you'll see all of these are mega constellations. So like 42,000 Starlink, SpaceX satellites in the coming years in low Earth orbit. China's Hongyun, 26,000 satellites, Astranis and Thaicom with thousands of satellites, OneWeb 650 satellites, it's a UK proxy, the Virgin Group with their satellites, Qualcomm, So Amazon, Kuiper 3,236 satellites, and again, the deep state going into space with Bezos. And Ukraine as a testing group for space weapons. So again, that's out there looking at a lot of that tech being used on the battlefield and tested. Now electric vehicles. So basically it gives total control over to the computer system, right? So that's surveillance, cameras, microphones, and biometrics. Insurance code can monitor everything in real time and knows who's in the car and what's going on. So all that's legitimate data. Any data that's gathered is legally have to be shared with who's insuring you. That's where they're going. Breathalyzer, a shut-off feature, so remote shutting down of your vehicle for any reason, even an accident. Features that can report you to police, governments, or corporate organizations. Ongoing monitoring that can issue fines and increase in insurance premiums. So if you're speeding or something and all of that is information, your insurance company could be say, I want the logs for your vehicle over the last year. And based on those results, that's how you're going to know your next year's insurance premiums. Requirement to purchase newer vehicle with RFID chips, onboard AI snitch. So again, that's the threat is you have an AI co-pilot that's gathering all this information that doesn't belong to you. That is shared with governments, corporations, insurance companies, law enforcement, and whomever, and it's literally your car spying on you. And so I was at the dealership today. I had a loaner, and I noticed that the mechanical locks are gone on these new cars. So if the computer fails on your vehicle, you can't unlock your door. You can't get out of your door. There's no mechanical override, and that's the line between whether something is good or bad. If there's no override and the computer is in complete control, that is the worst for human civilization. If there's an override, it's great if you have computerized locks, but if it breaks and it doesn't work, you have a switch, you can just unlock your door and get in your car, but you don't have that anymore. So it provides total remote control over all the components, which I'm going to show you, and all the sensors and all the actuators and all that. Not to mention that a lot of horrible cobalt mining, open pit cobalt mining all over Africa with little children is used in the batteries. These batteries don't last long and are extremely toxic. when they explode and burn, it's like psychotic. It's like magnesium incendiary bombs going off, and they're not even allowed on ferries in some places because once they burn, they like melt through everything. It's crazy. And government regulation for autopilot monitors biometrics. So they actually released it. This I had all this before, but yeah, now they're releasing these requirements for new vehicles and kill switches and stuff like that. Oops. So vehicle networks, vehicle networking is specialized communication that connects the internal components of vehicles, helping vehicles communicate their locations and receive real-time information intra and inter-vehicle, so inside of and between vehicles. Components are the ECUs, the electrical control units, the sensors, the engine control system, and the actuators. So the electronic control units, the ECUs, give you transmission control unit, anti-lock brakes, body control modules, speed control unit, battery management system, powertrain module, door control unit. So you understand that these are all hackable things. So your braking system, your transmission, your speed, your door locks can be hacked. You comfortable with that? So these are all the different things that have ECUs. Look at that. Your turn signals, your braking, your this and that. All of it. So if your car was hacked and you drove over a bunch of little kids and the cops pull up and you say, it wasn't me, my car was hacked, what do you think the cop's going to do? You're going to jail for the rest of your life. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. So in-vehicle protocols, the controller area network CAN, it is a popular message-based standard protocol used in vehicle networks. The data packets don't track the information of the message's sender or the receiver. It is low cost and doesn't need a central coordinator. CAN supports auto start or stop, parking management, and electric parking brakes. It also assists in collision prevention and automatic lane detection. Automotive Ethernet, AE, is a critical part of the in-vehicle networks that support modern vehicle applications. It satisfies high bandwidth requirements for safety applications, autonomous driving, and multimedia applications. It has a 100 megabit speed, which is 100 times quicker than CAN. So you see you're in your car Ethernet. Get it? 100 megs. So and it doesn't need more than that. It's for data about the car, right? It's not for downloading videos. So that's plenty of bandwidth. So then FlexRay, this is a time-triggered standard protocol used in the vehicle networking. It has an impressive high bandwidth of up to 10 megabits per second. The ECUs connected with FlexRay protocol work according to global time and transmit and receive data frames within predefined global time limits. It also has a better fault tolerance than CAN. FlexRay is ideal for large data payloads and flexibility related to network topologies. It is also helpful in transmitting dynamic traffic data in a single cycle. So this is super cool. So nanotechnology has come a long way. This is the nanotech tree. So as of 2023, so you see all the different ways that it can be used. And the maturity level. So you see a graph here where things were invented, like lattice building, origami, cellular creation of structures, energy harvesting, sensing, quantum composites, computing, data actuation, nonlinear systems, cognitive MEMS and NEMS. So you see, we're already there. We're already there. So they say, oh, they're like 2050. No, it's speeding up way faster than they're showing you here. So metamaterials are nanoparticles and synthetic biology. Vibrio nutrients, double volume in 10 minutes. So what's a Vibrio nutrient? It's something that expands in size in 10 minutes. There's a way to create a graphene Vibro nutrient, which it's like as soon as you activate it, it takes a little, like a drop of it, looks like that, and it gets huge. It just starts to. If that was in somebody's body and it went off, it would like completely blow somebody up within a matter of seconds. So that's called a Vibrio nutrient. Okay, so it doubles in 10 minutes, modified to produce materials, aka flesh-eating bacteria, is a Vibrio nutrient. So it expands very quickly, right? Chitin found in bugs is easily attracted attached to bio-vibrio modified nano weapons. So what is the bug Chittenden used for? Why do they want you to eat bugs so freaking bad? Is because the Chittenden found in bugs helps build that structure. So it's used as the building blocks, and it acts as a vibrio structure that expands very quickly. Get it? So then there's graphene described there, sciencedirect.com, everything about graphene you need to know, 3D printing. So again, graphene is primarily used now also in metamaterials for construction for all the reasons we talked about. It's very conductive. It's all those things, super strong, one of the strongest elements, metamaterials we know of. So used in 3D printing, you've seen the robots being printed 3D, refractive index, surface plasmon, electroconductivity, permittivity, dielectric material, nanocrystalline materials, and links there, Science Direct as well, explaining some of that stuff. And then the metafluids. So metafluids, again, Science Daily, is basically nanomaterial in a fluid building circuitry inside something that's liquid. So you have something that appears liquid, but inside it's a computer. And as you saw, it has capabilities to come together, to rapidly form, to transmit data, and then to break apart, and then to form again for a different reason than to break apart in that way. So that's all there. So here, looking at your metamaterials. So you have electromagnetic metamaterials. So you have electromagnetic cloak. You've seen the cloak of invisibility, I'm sure. Electromagnetic absorption. So this is where you get these Dew laser attacks. So the solution to that is as like metamaterial Faraday cages and layers, up to 7 layers of the stuff, and then it'll be impervious to that kind of attack. Terahertz electromagnetic metamaterials, again, found in the body. Terahertz is used for interbody communication. Acoustic materials, so acoustic cloaking to block sound. Acoustic absorbers, acoustic focus. So if you wanted to like create the best parabolic speaker antenna that focuses sound in a really minute precision-like way and like blow somebody's eardrums out, you could do it with that. Thermal metamaterials, so heat flux control. So again, controlling heat, which is great for certain things like fire protection and stuff like that, if it was used like positive, you know. Thermal emissions and thermal cloaking as well. So hiding heat, because thermal imagery is infrared, so you can't hide certain stuff in infrared. So with thermal cloaking, you literally go invisible from infrared as well, so you can't see the heat signature. And then mechanical metamaterials, you have energy absorption in different shapes, which absorb different energy. Negative Poisson's ratio, I don't know what that is. Minimum shear modulus, so that's like a lattice. Ugh. And it can build like anything, basically, any structure conceivable. And again, this avert your eyes. Sorry, I don't mean to be graphic. It's just important that you see what's actually out there. I tried to block anything that was sexually explicit, but sex dolls and robots—they are out there now. So there's a whole bunch of links there, and anthropomorphic robotic sex dolls that have a humanoid form, human-like movement or behavior, and some degree of artificial intelligence. And there's harmony, and I'm not encouraging any of this. I don't support any of this. This is terrible for human procreation and human relationships, where you can create, it's like porn come to life. It's horrible. So people who are sexually attracted to robots are referred to as digisexuals and robosexuals. So again, they have all their marketing tools for that, and digital girlfriends, which are making big money. And then the Internet of Brains. So go check out the So, Internet of Brains, Rand wants your brains. So, again, this is the CEO of Rand. I put a funny little joke there of him eating brains because he wants to create the Internet of Brains. So, automated information systems, a virtual metaverse. So, they want it connected to your brain. So, your brain will be in the metaverse. Augmented and mixed reality. So, the input that's going into your body is going right into your brain and bypassing all kinds of interesting stuff. They want to create a digital AI twin of you. They already have, I'm telling you, but you'll see. They want to create a digital twin, which is you in the metaverse. Just like the way you have an avatar in a video game or whatever. Well, your digital twin is you in the metaverse that can have whatever, get a ticket and misbehave and be thrown in a gulag or whatever. and advanced connectivity, which means plugging in your brain through nanotech, human augmentation, same, and information security. So they're saying to trust us, it'll be secure. Sure. Yeah, so mixed reality, VR mixed reality, again, that's what's coming. So this whole push towards the metaverse is because when you who those who do work from home are going to sit down in front of their station, you're not allowed to leave your house, so you have to plug into the metaverse to go to work. And now you have to sit at a virtual reality desk in the virtual reality workspace, and your boss can monitor all of your bossware because you're plugged in with all of your thoughts, your emotions, and everything. Generating and monitoring you by AI at all times, generating a scorecard of behavior. And if you're not super efficient all day, then you won't be working for very long. So this all leads to techno-determinism. AI does all the real work, and a large number of humans are rendered useless to society, useless to the billionaires, of course. The first project supported by Andreessen, Thiel, and Zuckerberg is Web3, a virtual world of the metaverse accessed by virtual reality headgear, which, despite all the clear benefits that it promises, may end up converting the free web into an online theme park in which every door requires a crypto token to open. And this is, again, from official Canadian government sources. This is called the Biodigital Convergence on the horizons.ca website. These are the tracks of biodigital convergence that they anticipate: the full physical integration of biological and digital entities, so the full merging, the full cyborg-ate, basically becoming a cyborg, co-evolution of biological and digital technologies, and conceptual convergence of biological and digital systems. So the Internet of Battlefield Things, the IoBT, the Internet of Military, it's another word for it, they're the same thing, Internet of Military Things or Internet of Battlefield Things, is a class of Internet of Things for combat operations and warfare. It is a complex network of interconnected entities or things in the military domain that continually communicate with each other to coordinate, learn, and interact with the physical environment to accomplish a broad range of activities in a more efficient and informed manner. Future military battles will be dominated by machine intelligence and cyber warfare and will likely take place in urban environments. Yep. Quantum battlefield explained there. Enabling the dominance in control, command, control, intelligence, surveillance, targeting, acquisition, reconnaissance. So it's C4 ISTAR. So command and control, intelligence, surveillance, targeting, acquisition, and reconnaissance. So that's like the kill chain idea. And Internet of Autonomous Things, this is your Internet of Robots. So autonomous entities without human direction, freely moving and interacting with humans and other objects. So this is your robots. Your robot planes, your jets, all that stuff, they're on the Internet of Autonomous Things, not necessarily all on the same type of infrastructure, but all works the same. So devices include such items as sensors, just move that, vehicles, robots, UAVs, human wearable devices, the cyber hive mind, as you've seen, biometrics, munitions, armor, weapons, and other smart technology. Data carrying device, a device attached to a physical thing that indirectly connects it to the large communication network. A data capturing device, where a reader writer device is capable of interacting with physical things. A sensing and actuating device is a device that can detect or measure information related to the surrounding environment and converts it into a digital electronic signal or a physical operation. A general device is a device embedded with processing and communication capabilities that can exchange information with the larger network. And then the possibility of incorporating inanimate and innocuous objects like plants and rocks into the system by fitting them with sensors that will turn them into information gathering points like e-plants. So literally by putting nanotech in plants and in rocks and on the ground, you're networking that in with the Internet of Battlefield Things so that the rock can be used to spy, I guess. So blockchain is key to the Internet of Battlefield Things. It's built on blockchain, right? And then I don't know why I didn't have it here, but quantum encryption. It needs blockchain and quantum encryption to function. So command, control, computer, communication, surveillance, and reconnaissance is C4ISR. The C4ISR technologies give command and control capabilities and electronic surveillance capabilities that help control and guide the fighter aircraft in a combat situation. while the Internet of Battlefield Things and C4 ISR technologies will transform modern day warfare. The fighter airplanes will be able to receive input from multiple sensors and will be monitored from a central location of Internet of Things sensors integrated with the C4 ISR aircraft. So this is where it's all at. So this is our exponential convergence phase. This is what's transforming our planet right now, and it's being done through AI. So you have the quantum revolution in qubits, you have the nano revolution in atom-sized machines and smaller. You have the bio revolution where genes can be manipulated by biomachines and rewritten and recoded. You have the info, basically the big data component of this where it's all put together, and you have the interface with the brain and neurons. And all of that is described at military.org. No, it's TradeOp. So trading army, this is right from the army's .mil website and where it's all at. And those are a bunch of channels that you could use to do more research and stay on top of this. So again, like I said, I'm not responsible for everything that somebody posts on any site. So if you don't want to be offended, then don't go there to those sites. But activist posts or blacklisted news, there's a whole bunch of good data there, but people would consider them alternative, but they're legitimate actual reporters, not like the mainstream media prostitutes that are just lying to us every night. So then there's biometric news, there's AI news, there's nanotechnology news, a whole bunch of AI stuff and channels here. They're really good, actually. That's how I stay on top of a lot of stuff, is a lot of those YouTube videos, channels are really good for that. Future Business Tech is great. AI Uncovered and Anastasia in Tech. She's really about chips. So if you want to understand, because I find the chips interesting, like that's the foundations, right? How is it processing data? So she goes through and analyzes all of the chips, and it's just how I stay on top of it. And that's that. That's it, man. That's where we're at. So, yeah.